and service learning. More at uml.edu/hands-on.
For program support on WDIY, we thank BRE Presents, welcoming the Indigo Girls to the FM Kirby Center in Wilkes-Barre, touring in support of their new album, One Lost Day, and the long-form video documenting the making of the record. Sunday, March 20th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster and the Kirby Center box office.
This is WDIY Allentown. The time is 5:59, 54 degrees, just a few clouds in the sky. Coming up next, Lehigh Valley Discourse. Host Sally Handon welcomes Cedar Crest College President Carmen Twilley Ambar back to the studios. Join Sally in just a few moments here. This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. We're at 88.1 FM in Allentown, Bethlehem, and on translators 93.9 East in Phillipsburg and 93.7 in Fogelsville and Trexlertown.
Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm your host this evening, and as Neil has indicated to you, our guest this evening is Carmen Twilley Ambar. This is her eighth appearance. Women's History Month, we brought Cedar Crest in 2009, and you've been with us ever since.
It's been great. I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, so do I. I get so excited about this. We're going to be talking about Cedar Crest, and a lot of things have been happening, in addition to the fact that it's going to have a 150th anniversary coming up.
That's right.
They've just announced a few major programs and successes, and as Carmen and I were talking before the show, they're finishing up the strategic plan that she announced about 8 years ago.
That's
and starting
right.
on the next one. So we're going to hear about all of that tonight and a little bit more with what's happening with women, Cedar Crest College, leadership in the Valley. But before we do, I want to go back to sharing Carmen's background, because I was reviewing it, because it's probably been since 2009, 2010, since I really got into all of the details, because
right.
we just have had such a full program.
Right.
and let me listen or read to you what I picked up and listen to this background. It's just incredible to me. Since 2008, she's been the president of Cedar Crest College, and with that, she's been serving on the board of the Women's College Coalition. She's vice chair of the Pennsylvania Campus Compact. She's chair of the Lehigh Valley Association of Independent Colleges. And she's chair-elect of the Colonial States Athletic Conference. Correct? Is that
right.
Is there anything else there, Carmen?
There's probably some things, but that's okay. That's good enough.
Okay. Awards that she's received: in 2012, she got the Girl Scouts Take the Lead Award. In 2011, the American Association of University Women Gateway to Equality. 2010, Women's Business Council Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber Athena Award. So a lot of recognition, and I'm sure there's even more coming. But prior to that, and this is where I think some of the roots to what we have experienced with Cedar Crest have come from.
Yeah.
Prior to Cedar Crest, she was at Rutgers, and she was the ninth woman and the youngest dean to lead Douglas College. She was the assistant dean of graduate education of the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. And prior to that, she was in the New York City Law Department. She was assistant corporation counsel. Now I'm going to go a little back further
right.
and talk about degrees here. Her BS degree is from Georgetown in Foreign Service. And listen to these majors: Foreign Service, Master's from Princeton in Public Affairs, and her Juris Doctorate from Columbia Law School. And then on top of all that, she has triplets. So I just figure she just doesn't have any time in the day to do anything else. But Carmen, we are so fortunate to have you here and back to WDIY tonight.
Glad to be here.
And I love doing these annual checkups with you. We have such a good time learning what's happening and where you're going.
Well, you know, it's good for me, too, that sometimes I think you don't stop for a moment and say, what have we accomplished? What are the next steps? And so every time we prepare for this, I think, oh, okay, here's where we are and here's where we're going. So
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So let's take a look back a little bit about that first strategic plan and some
right.
of the things that you set out to do. And I think you've accomplished just about everything on that list, haven't
you? I think we've gotten most of it done. And I think what's interesting, remember one of our first interviews was really about how colleges are thinking more like businesses.
Correct.
And that was really the framework of our first conversation. And at the time, and I think it's still true, higher education was having a total realignment, right? We were dealing with declining enrollments, fewer students who were eligible to come to college because there's a declining number of high school graduates nationally. There was this expansion in the market, but it was with adults, not traditional age college students.
Correct.
People were questioning the value of a liberal arts college degree and saying, is it worth that investment? People talking about the cost of colleges. So I entered Cedar Crest in 2008, and remember we began the major recession at that time. So it was a realignment, and we had to rethink Cedar Crest in the context of that realignment. And so that's what the strategic plan was about. You know, we launched the School of Adult and Graduate Education.
That's SAGE.
That's SAGE. Mm-hmm. Now that's 40% of our full-time enrolled students.
Wow.
So it
40.
Just took, it's huge. We launched 14, in my time at Cedar Crest, we've launched 14 new majors or graduate programs. So we've doubled the number of graduate programs that we have. And of course, we have these new majors. We really wanted to focus on the practical application of the liberal arts. So all these healthcare majors, a new MBA program. We really wanted to make sure that, yes, it's a liberal arts college, but it's the practical application of those liberal arts. So, you know, one of our fastest growing majors is art therapy. So we did an art therapy undergraduate program and a master's program. So that's really been the look. And I have to say that as I look back on these 8 years now, we're in the best financial position we've been in 10 years.
Oh, congratulations.
We're
that's
excited
great.
About that. We've had a 35% increase in our net assets. That's been fantastic. And we've been able to launch these new programs that I think are really about our value proposition. Still trying to keep our costs reasonable enough for families that may not be the wealthiest families in the world, but want a great quality education that's going to launch them into the next phase of their lives. And I think that we've been able to do that and to continue to be this kind of regional powerhouse, but also spreading our wings a little bit to have a national reputation in some important areas. So I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of our team.
Well, and you should be. And women's colleges in particular, right? Having a tough time because
right.
there aren't that many left.
Right.
A lot of them went co-ed or they're no longer around.
Right. And I think maybe, I don't know what it was last year this time we talked, but remember we had Sweetbriar
right.
that had this really challenging period. And so people have asked what women's colleges, can they make it? And I think we're proving that you can be a thriving and vibrant college that's dedicated to women's education and women's leadership. And that's one of the things, other things that we did. We didn't shy away from our women's college status. And now there's certainly women who come to Cedar Crest that don't necessarily come because it's a women's college. But we certainly have put a stake in the ground and said, that's a competitive advantage. Look what happens to young women at women's colleges. They're disproportionately more likely to be leaders in whatever field they choose. They're more likely to have critical thinking skills, writing skills, cultural competency skills. They're more likely to take appropriate risks. There are reasons for you to choose a women's college because you want to lead at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly has been amazing. And I think one of the other things that you had on your strategic plan, if I'm correct, is you wanted to spread internationally.
We did.
That was, and we'll talk more about what's coming, but.
Yes, well, we had, one of our broad principles was global connectivity.
Right.
And so that was the key work that we said we wanted to do. So the first thing was about getting more of our students to study abroad. We went from 2 or 3 students studying abroad a year to 50 students studying abroad a year. In combination with that, we started taking cohorts of students abroad in small class sizes. And then we had some agreements with an institution like Seoul Women's University in Korea. And so 6 of our students go and spend the summer in Korea, and then 2 of the students from that institution, Korean students, come and stay a year at Cedar Crest. So it was about helping our students study abroad more and building our international footprint and making sure that when we talk about global leadership, you have to go and you have to go and see the world in order to lead the world, right? And our goal was to help more and more of our students doing that. And I know we're going to get a chance to talk about our big new initiatives, but I will say about global education and particularly study abroad that of the however many hundreds of thousands of undergraduates there are in the country, only about 1.5% of those students study abroad.
Is that it?
Yes, a very small percentage of students study
abroad.
And it really has been reserved for the wealthiest students. It's not something that students who don't have a lot of income can do. And as the cost of higher education has risen, it's almost priced out middle-income families as well. And so I hear our families talk about all the time, you know, we just can't afford the extras, right? We can get your books. We can get you in here. But anything beyond that, we're really not able to do. And so we've been thinking about for a while a way to make that be different.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But let's talk about you and your experience studying abroad, being abroad, because that has been very influential.
It's been a huge part. First of all, I have to say that my grandmother was just a traveler, and she really believed in travel. She was one of these women whose husband passed away pretty early on, in the sense that she lived 30 years or so past mm-hmm. him. And so she spent a lot of time traveling and thought traveling was really an important part of how you should think about yourself. So I did a little bit of traveling with her. But my first big experience was going abroad to Japan for the summer. I spent 3 months in Japan when I was a junior in high school.
Now, did you know the language at all?
I didn't know the language at all.
Oh, boy.
So it was a very kind of shocking thing. Some of you who know me well know that I'm pretty tall. So I'm this African-American woman in this Japanese society. So I kind of stood out a little bit. And but it was a fabulous experience. I lived with a family mm-hmm. and it really got me connected to what it means to go and discover yourself. And I think some of what happens to students when they go abroad is they discover some things about themselves, about our country, about how people perceive us, about things that they, misperceptions that they have about their own country and themselves. And so I came back from that experience really energized about what it can do, what it did for me. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college and I was in the School of Foreign Service. Really, because the School of Foreign Service has a language requirement, you have to take an exam in your language, and both a verbal and oral exam. And so I really had to go abroad just to kind of grasp this language. And so I went to France and I stayed in France for 8 months.
Wow.
And that was also just a moment to reflect. And I think when you go abroad, you also have a little bit more silence. Because sometimes you can't speak the language as well. And so you have a lot of time to reflect and mm-hmm. think about who you are and how you relate in the world. You get a chance to be the other, right? The person who can't really speak the language and the help you need to try to maneuver. It just changes the way you think about yourself. And you have those moments where you're uncomfortable and those moments where you grow in these incredible ways. And so I came back from that experience knowing that it was something that everyone should do. I really do believe everyone should go abroad. And as I've gone in my career, all the way from Princeton to Rutgers to Cedar Crest, I've wanted to find a way to help as many students as I can have that experience.
Well, and it's especially important today.
Because it is.
The world is global, no matter which way you turn.
Right. I couldn't have imagined how small the world has gotten, right, when I was back in Japan all those years.
Yeah.
But now it's a necessity.
Absolutely.
It's like you kind of have to have that skill set.
Right, right. And you've got to be able to think differently.
Right.
And that's what brings it about. Well, we'll be talking a little bit more about the exciting news, what was released just a couple months ago about Cedar Crest and internationally. Before we talk about the new one, there was a program that we announced, and it was the Study Abroad, the Masters of Fine Arts, that I would like to get sort of an update on. What's been happening
now? Wow, it's so great. So that was our low residency MFA program. So remember that students do these 2-week residencies in various countries around mm-hmm. the world. Our notion is that location is inspiration. Mm-hmm. And these folks all had written projects that they were trying to complete, and they use this MFA program to sort of complete these interesting new written projects. They do it over a couple of years and they get a master's in fine arts. And so we just had our first graduating class last year.
Yeah.
And the graduation was in Vienna. I mean, that's
wow.
fantastic, right? So our provost went to preside over the graduation in Vienna. You can't ask for better than that. You know what? Honestly, I wanted her to go because I have a lot of opportunities to do that sort of thing, and I wanted her to have a chance to do that. And then what I'm really pleased by is that one of our first graduates of that cohort just had her book published.
I read about that.
And
it's
so
exciting.
It's exciting, and it's an interesting feminist novel about a young teenage Viking girl. And so it starts in 1935 AD, I think. And she talks, as this girl kind of comes of age, she talks about what's happening with women during that period.
I think I have something on that. We have, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Comma.
Comma.
Comma. All right.
And Therese Brazen is her name. So Therese Brazen. So Brasen is her last name. And she just got published. And she's actually, just to show you how this program works, she's from Canada.
Oh.
So she's from Canada. It's a low residency program, so you're doing a lot of it on the internet and then going to these locations for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So she's from Canada.
So in the program, do you go to multiple locations?
You do.
So how many?
Three locations.
Three locations.
Three locations. So Barcelona, Venice, and Dublin.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, great. I mean, those locations would inspire anybody, right? I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You'd be inspired.
I may have to repeat that class sometimes.
Yeah.
just to get all that in. Well, let's share with our listeners the exciting news about what Cedar Crest is doing for its undergraduates internationally.
Well, I have to say, I've been literally dreaming about this since I got on Cedar Crest campus. It's been the big thing I wanted to do. And it is to guarantee a fully funded study abroad opportunity for all of the students in our traditional women's college. And it's been one of those, honestly, one of those dreams that seems like far away. Like, can we get this done, right? It's costly. It's all these things to it. But I talked to you about the success we've been having as an institution. And so this year, for the first time, we announced to our prospective students, so the students who are entering Cedar Crest in this next year, they will be the first class that will be a part of our Guaranteed Study Abroad program. So here's how it's going to work. In their sophomore year, they will take a seminar course in the spring of their sophomore year. So there'll be 10 or 12 seminar courses that are offered. It'll be in a subject that you're interested in. Let's say you're interested in criminal justice. It'll be around criminal justice issues in the country that we're going to go to.
Okay.
Then during spring break, for the next 7 to 10 days, the entire sophomore class will get on a plane, go to the country that we've been talking about, and be of service for 10 days.
Wow.
And I cannot tell you when I've been announcing that. So I've been at admissions events over the course of the last couple of months announcing this. And it's literally squeals of joy and delight. I mean, standing ovations because parents are so excited about this opportunity.
Yeah.
And so there'll be faculty members that go with each group, right? So we'll break the students down into 10 to 15 students in the seminar. And we'll do some collective things together in the country that we're going to go to. And then they'll all go off and do some things
in their
particular areas.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back after spring break. And obviously, for those of you who have been abroad, you know, the learning from being abroad oftentimes happens when you get back. Right.
You see things differently.
You see things different. You need to debrief from that experience.
Right.
And it's nice if you have a guide through that debriefing process. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the students will continue in that course. Obviously, they'll have several more weeks left when they get back in March. So they'll be debriefing from that experience and engaging with their colleagues. And obviously, they'll do some special projects. So it's going to be fantastic. I hope it'll be the type of thing that 30 years from now, alumni will come back to reunion and say, oh, where did you guys go? Oh, we went to Rome. Where did you guys go? Oh, we went to Poland. Where did you guys go? I mean, that it will be that type of bonding, connecting experience that will be a signature look at what it means to be a Cedar Crest woman.
That's incredible. And when will they know where they're going?
So I'm so excited that at convocation, which is at the beginning of school each year, late August, we will announce to that entering class their destination. So I know where we're going.
Yeah.
but
it takes a while to plan
that.
Oh,
yes. No, I mean that we've been in the process of planning, you know, getting all that, the housing, all that arrangements to take, you know, 200 mm-hmm. plus people abroad. That's no easy feat. But I'm excited that we're going to announce it, and we're going to try to make it special for the students. We're going to do some teasers over the summer.
Okay.
And then we'll make the big announcement.
Okay, so the incoming class is the class of, well, I don't know, the 4 years from now, but
yeah.
They start in 2016, so they'll go abroad in 2017?
They'll be spring of 2018.
Yeah.
Okay. So in some ways, it's the beginning of our 150th. So we're starting our celebration of our 150th year in this September.
Okay.
So we'll be 150 years old in 2017, and so we're going to do kind of a soft opening of that 150th year in September, and then January 1st of 2017 will be start the big celebrations of our 150th year. So this class is the first class that's coming in our 150th year, and they are the inaugural class of what we're calling Sophomore Expedition.
Sophomore Expedition. Okay. Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 150th and other things that are going on at Cedar Crest with Carmen Ambar, who's president of Cedar Crest College. I'm Sally Hanlon. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me in the studio this evening for Women's History Month and St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
Is Carmen Ambar, president of Cedar Crest College. And before the break, we were talking about some exciting international news, the expedition.
Right, sophomore expedition
that Cedar Crest has introduced for their class that's coming in starting this next fall. And we talked a little bit about them being sort of introducing the 150th. So what all is being planned for the 150th, Carmen?
Wow. You know, it's really overwhelming. I just saw the timeline that they put up for me.
the whole wall.
And I was like, are we going to survive the 150th? That's what was my first thought. But so what we're going to do is some of the things are going to be events that we always do on campus, but have a 150th flair to it. So all of our plays will have the context of 150 or celebrate our history. So one of the things that maybe people don't know about Cedar Crest is that for many, many years during the beginning of our college, they always did Greek plays. We have a little Greek theater out behind our student center. It's a big tradition at Cedar Crest that we haven't done in many years, but this year for the 150, yes, we're going to do a Greek play. For all the folks out there who wonder, we're going to do that. We're going to do things like lecture series. We're going to try to bring in some really interesting folks around that. But we're also going to have some of our faculty members do their research and work and talk about that piece of it. We're certainly going to do some big things around convocation and commencement and that sort of thing, which will be really fun. But I think more than anything, we're going to reflect on the progress that this college has made over 150 years. And I think when you think about it sort of starting in downtown Allentown on 4th Street, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And of course, it became the Allentown College for Women. And then it turned into Cedar Crest, really because we were on the crest of the hill, right?
Okay.
And it's become this, I think, iconic college in this region that people have come to believe is an important part of how we think about the Lehigh Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to spend some real time talking about that. And we've done all sorts of renovations and things to the campus to make sure that we're ready. I think the other big thing is we're going to have a huge gala. Our last sort of signature event in October of 2017. And we're actually moving reunion. So we're not going to do reunion in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an all college, all campus, all class year reunion.
Wow.
And everybody's going to be on campus for 3 days, and we're going to have a big gala. And I have to say that we've decided there's not going to be a lot of speeches and a lot of pontificating. We're just going to have a big old honking party.
That's
right?
Great.
Dancing and enjoy a big celebration.
Wow. That's terrific.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Going to be fun.
Well, everyone, keep your eyes on Cedar Crest this next
year. Oh, yeah. No, you have to. You know, we're doing banners. We hope to get some banners downtown so that people recognize it's our 150th year. But you should definitely watch our calendar because there are going to be some big name people coming through and you're going to want to get tickets and be there for those events.
Right.
So, yeah, just check our website.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing in anticipation, like when we were talking. Student Success Center was a new concept that was introduced this year, correct?
Well, we are in the process of redoing the first floor. We're doing almost a gut renovation of our library.
Okay.
And that's where the Student Success Center is going to be. So for the listeners, I think one of the things that you might want to think about is how colleges are thinking about successful completion these days. So, you know, there are all sorts of tools that students need. They may need a tutor. They may need the writing center. They certainly need someone in the library to help them. And if you have to go all over campus for that, It can kind of impact your ability to be successful. So what the Student Success Center is about bringing all those places together, sort of one-stop shopping. You can walk into one building, and if you need to talk to the librarian about your research, and then he or she says to you, well, you know what, you probably need to go and look at the Writing Center a little bit. This paragraph's not quite working. You walk right over to the Writing Center. But the other piece that's important about it is that it is technologically cutting edge. So it's whiteboards. You can write on any surface. So you can work in teams. If you and I are together, we can write on this board together. We can pull our board over together, plug in our laptops, and project on the screen. So it's the ability to work in groups collectively, to write on any surface, and to engage each other in these sort of interesting collaborative projects that's also a part of a Student Success Center. It's really taking technology to a very different space. So I was just in one of our classrooms that we just redid. It's our classroom that mainly our MBA. So we have this new MBA program that launched in the fall. Fantastic, overrun with students. I mean, it's really done well. When you walk into this classroom, all of the walls can be written on. Plus, there are big screens that you can project your information on. So what it encourages you to do is it encourages you to collaborate with your partners in different ways. And I got an email from a faculty member that said one of the things that happened in that classroom that doesn't happen when you have the traditional lecture style is that when the student was talking, she got up and wrote on the board to explain what she was saying. She never would have gone to the front of the classroom.
Correct,
To take the faculty member's place, right? So remember that some of what's changing in higher education is that faculty members are no longer just a sort of sage on the stage, right, conveying information. Everybody has a role to play in educating the class. And so we all become teachers. So part of what a faculty member's role is in this era is to guide the learning, is to guide the instruction, not to necessarily always be conveying information
for
people
or
have the answer, right? Yeah. That's why flipped classrooms are so important, where you have a lot of times what's happening in our classrooms is that the lecture is happening outside the class. You're pulling up on YouTube, you're pulling up on a video, you get that information outside the class. When you come into the classroom, it's hands-on learning now. We're applying what we've
picked up.
You don't need to sit in the lecture, you do that outside.
Yeah.
That's flipping the way people are educated.
And is that happening everywhere, Carmen?
You know, I think it's becoming a little bit of a trend. I mean, this notion of flipping your classroom, I think that we've benefited at Cedar Crest from our pursuit of online education. Right. So we pursued online education, which meant that a lot of our faculty members had to put their lectures and things online. And then it seeped over into the on the ground program, too, where faculty are like, wait a minute, why am I just lecturing? They can get that information elsewhere. We all do that. We watch videos online all the time. You absorb that information. Now when you come in the classroom, that faculty member helps guide you through the practical application of that knowledge. Right? And so you really get a chance to work with a faculty member in a very different way if you're not sitting there taking notes about what they're saying.
It's like,
okay, so how do we apply this? How do we apply this information that we've had? And that's what practicing leadership is about. That's what a different type of education is about. You're more prepared to go in and work with your colleagues, right? Because when you're working with your colleagues, it's not a lecture style. it's an engagement in a collaborative way.
Well, you know, and it also tends to offset the individuality of social media and texting.
Because absolutely.
You're so alone, and this brings everybody back together.
Right. It's fantastic. I mean, even I had a different feeling when I was in that classroom about how we were engaging with each other. And we were doing it as a medium, right? It wasn't, you know, we were just sitting there in the meeting. But it's a different way of engaging. So the technology in that space is going to be fantastic. It's going to open in the fall. You're going to walk into this sort of a center kind of, we've been jokingly calling it a genius bar, although I'm sure Apple probably won't appreciate that. But, you know, you walk in and you get this guidance. And then I expect you to see students collaborating in all of these interesting ways.
Wow. That is
gonna be cool.
Every time we talk, there's always so many exciting things happening at Cedar Crest. I can't keep up with you. It's incredible. One of the other things that you introduced was this freshman read.
Yeah.
And this year, and I read the book too. It was on the wings.
The Invention of Wings
by Sue Monk Kidd. Very interesting book.
Tough book.
It took me a while to get through it.
Yeah, that's a tough book. And think about it, that's first-year students reading that.
Yeah. So
everybody reads that in the first year. What happens? Do they end up discussing it?
Oh, absolutely. So remember, this book goes out to our students before they get to campus. Mm-hmm. So they show up in orientation. And our orientation is, yes, the typical things you do in orientation is get to know you and great picnics and all that stuff. But you also take a course. So you start your courses right in orientation. And the first part of that course is the read.
I should have taken that.
And so, yeah, you should have come. You have to come. We have to invite you. And part of it, first of all, is for students to reflect on their own experience in the context of reading the book. It's very different if you walk into a room and the other 200 people have read the same book you've read. It's just a different way of engaging with people about what their thoughts were, what they thought was important. You know, remember, this is one where she gets a slave as a gift. So this is a story where this young girl gets a slave as a gift. Right. And it kind of winds you through their story. And there's some tough things through that. And certainly we try to have some perspective around women if we can. Mm-hmm. And helping these young women kind of think about women's issues in these really powerful and challenging ways. And what happens to students is they bring in their own personal experience about what's happened to them. The faculty members guide them through a thoughtful process around ethics. And I think that's an interesting, you know, space for our students.
Especially at that age.
So you're talking about 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And this is their first exposure to college-level reading and the analytical skills that are required in college. So they have to write some essays, and they get graded. Graded not for your grade, but to give you a sense of what grading is like in college. And that's always a shocker, right? Mm-hmm. As they try to transition from what it means to write a high school essay and what it means to write a thoughtful college level essay. So part of this is about sort of preparation for college in a low stress environment. So you're not going to get a grade on this. But it's a wake up call for our students to understand what the level of intense work requires to perform well mm-hmm. at college. Mm-hmm. What faculty members are looking for, you know, they're not looking for you to regurgitate the facts of the story and the plot. They're looking for you to analyze what happened and to interpret it and to think critically about the issues that the book raises. And that's really challenging.
But
they grow a lot from that experience. And we purposely choose tough topics.
Well, the one that you chose and you had her come in and speak
was Lima Gabawi.
Yes, that was amazing.
Powerful, powerful book.
Liberia and the struggles and the
women. The struggles and the women's role in stopping the civil war in Liberia.
Right.
And I think, first of all, for our students, it was about some of what we're trying to do is to expose them to these incredibly accomplished women and to demystify excellence, to demystify accomplishment. And to help them see that it is possible for you too, mm-hmm. that they are just human beings who did something extraordinary, but you have that capacity within you as well. And that demystifying these folks is a power. There's been so many times we had, I'm going to lose her name, Caddy Kay, BBC journalist, come to campus. And she and her friend had written Womenomics, Claire Shipman. They wrote it together. And our journalist students, our students who were on our newspaper, got a chance to do a press conference with her. Mm-hmm. And our photography students got a chance to do photographs and do what you would do in a press conference. And the students came to me and said, first of all, thank you, President Ambar, for bringing her. But secondly, saying, you know, she's just like us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because I believe, you know this, Sally, that we are literally trying to change the world one student at a time. Mm-hmm. That this is about women's leadership. I believe, I say that at every admissions event, that we have the audacious belief that the world needs more women leaders. Mm-hmm. We truly believe that. And we believe women's colleges have a special place in helping those women leaders thrive. And I want these young women to graduate from Cedar Crest, believe having the skill set, disciplinarily, and all the things that they need, but also believing without a shadow of a doubt they can achieve whatever it is they want to achieve
Absolutely.
In life.
Yeah.
And that all they need is to work hard, to be ambitious. We always say we don't apologize for ambition at Cedar Crest. We don't apologize for brains or ambition. And I do believe that they graduate with this sense of, I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want them to do. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be the president of whatever, right? It's not all about positional leadership. It's because I want to make my block better. It's because I want to make my region better, my city better. It's because I want to make my state better. It's because I want to make my world better. And wherever they are in that framework, mm-hmm. that is leadership to me. And all we have to do at Cedar Crest is to give them the tools they need and to give them the confidence that they can achieve what they want to do.
Yeah. I'll tell you, every time we talk, I wish I was 18 again, in some respects.
Not always.
But, you know, just because, you know, not having had that support as a woman, when you go to a co-ed college, it's very different.
Yeah.
And especially in my timing, but, you know, you just don't get that solid support.
Right.
That
I say to people all the time, you know, I graduated from coeducational institutions. They're wonderful institutions, so it's not being disparaging. But I do know, having now, I'm in my 14th year leading a women's college, something special happens to the young women at women's colleges. And I say to parents all the time, if you let your daughter kind of leave without putting at least one women's college on her list and saying, let's go visit, if you let that happen, you're missing it. Mm-hmm. Because for so many young women, it's so transformational. And there are all these myths about women's colleges, but at the end of the day, you got to go and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Got
mm-hmm.
to.
Yeah. Well, and you've got a gorgeous campus.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, and especially if you're visiting in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. It's seductive is the phrase I call it. Seductive campus.
Very much so. You had said at one point that you were looking at going to India soon and to develop sort of a relationship with India. And then you had mentioned in our conversation a British model versus a U.S. model.
Yeah.
Share with our listeners
so
sort of the
international. So that's been really interesting. So this is all a part of our global connectivity. And some of this is about, yes, sending our students abroad, but it's about expanding the number of international students that come to our campus now. I think we had about 2 or 3 students internationally on our campus when I first got there. I think this year we have 105.
Wow.
So we have a lot of international students on our campus. So our next big place is India. And we sent a group of 3 faculty members and a staff member in October. And we're building relationships with schools there, particularly around women in science. So, you know, 70% of our students interested in the sciences at Cedar Crest. So we think that there's a place for a women's college for young women who are interested in science and engineering and technology in India. So we sent staff over there. Fantastic. Interesting. So we brought hands-on science experiments to various workshops and classrooms at various high schools around. We started in Mumbai. It's really okay. Where we went. And what we got back from them was this astonished, excited reaction to actually being able to do experiments. So they're in a British system. And in the British model, it is pure lecture. You do not have any kind of opportunity to do practical applications of your learning. It's really just a lecture style.
So if you're like a hands-on learner, you're out of it.
You're out of it. It's a lecture style. So they were actually sort of shocked that they could touch, they could do, wait a minute, we're actually going to apply this thing that we're doing. So our folks did, we had a couple of biologists go over and they talked about the impact of water and pollution on various sort of animal species and also kind of removal of pollutants in water. So they had to do some work doing that. And they were just blown away by the opportunity to actually do a science experiment. And so what we said to them was to demonstrate that that's the type of experience that you have in college and at most colleges, but certainly at Cedar Crest, it's an experiential learning place. So I'm going to go. So I'm headed off on April 2nd, and I'm going to spend 10 days there talking to various folks. And then a group of students, 50 students, will be back on our campus about a week after I get back. So they're going to come and visit us. They're going to be visiting a lot of colleges in the region, but they're certainly going to be on Cedar Crest campus. And I hope that over time we'll have many, many Indian students that will come to Cedar Crest. And that's another way to have a footprint overseas, right? To have people who come here, go to your institution, then go back to their home institution.
Yeah.
It's about really having that Cedar Crest footprint expand.
So you have the relationship with Korea.
Yep.
South Korea. Now you have the relationship to India. Are there any other countries?
There are. We have the University of Suncoast in Australia, so we have an exchange program there.
Okay.
We have Linnaeus University in Sweden, so we always have Swedish students on our campus this year right now. So we have those relationships. We have relationships with some institutions in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And I hope this, one of the places that we're going to, the institution has a lot of schools in India, but they also have schools in the United Arab Emirates and some other countries there. So I think there is a space for particularly a women's college in countries around the world. Okay. So we're excited.
So, very interesting. Having especially women getting the support, that's another aspect. I mean, the science and technology, absolutely.
Right.
But in some of the countries that you mentioned, I'm not so sure women always get the support in their education.
Well, it'll be interesting because I do think that the perspective of women and women's leadership and certainly feminism in those countries is very different. So it'll be interesting to see their time here and then how they see themselves differently when they head back to their home countries.
They won't be going back.
I don't know. But they certainly will have a different perspective. There's no doubt about that.
That's for sure. Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break. I'm talking with Carmen Ambar about women leadership and Cedar Crest College, and we'll be talking with you soon. I'm Sally Hanlon. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking with Carmen Ambar, president of Cedar Crest College, and we're talking about women, leadership, international, Cedar Crest College. It wraps it all up at this point. For those of you who have been listening for a while, you know that Carmen has been a part of Women's History Month here on Lehigh Valley Discourse since 2009, and her first show with me, we talked about the initial strategic plan that they're just wrapping up
right
now. So what's next, Carmen? What's happening in the next
So we're in those early stages where we are getting new initiatives from our faculty and staff. Some really interesting things out there. Some I think we'll pursue. One of them is a school of health sciences or a school of nursing. So we'll see if we do that one. But that's certainly an interesting idea out there. And I think in keeping with one of our real strengths. Some people know that we have one of the larger nursing programs in the region. We have a 96% first-time pass rate on the nursing exam.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think, it's fantastic. It's really one of our signature programs. And so much so that this is Carmen Ambar's view of the world, but I think it's correct that people can tell the difference between a Cedar Crest nurse and another nurse. I mean, the academic experience is so deep there. So certainly we're going to probably do that one. We are looking at a real expansion of our graduate program. So, we went from 3 to now we're at 7.
Okay.
And, we might be in the doubling of that.
Wow.
Because I think that's really a space for us to not only tap into an enrollment growth area, but, the college degree is an important degree, but the master's degree is becoming an important part of what it means to really advance yourself. So certainly professional degrees are a part of it. So can we create some more 5-year programs where people can go straight through? We're thinking seriously about a CRNP, doctorally prepared nurses, where you can go straight from a bachelor's in nursing all the way through DNP.
Wow.
And, think about the healthcare system. Certified nurse practitioners are becoming the go-to healthcare provider. Right. Mm-hmm. So as we expand the number of people who have health care, all of us are not going to be able to get in and see physicians. Certified nurse practitioners can prescribe medication and can do some of the higher order things that physicians do. And so the CRNP is becoming the go-to degree for nurses.
Okay, now help me a little bit with physician's assistant versus this position.
So they are similar in nature.
Okay.
The physician's assistants are folks who are sort of right below the sort of doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly can prescribe medication as well. Some people think of CRNPs as kind of a more holistic family medicine is certainly a part of that. But they also have some specializations. So we're thinking seriously about an anesthesist track. So nurses that do the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why that's important to us is because we'd be one of the only colleges in the region. The next one is maybe 50 or 60 miles away. And the other reason why I think it's great is because the starting salary for those nurses is $150,000.
Wow.
And so for us, that's about, you know, making sure that our students can get high paying jobs that support them and their families, that they bring a skill set that is really transferable and important for them to advance their career. So we're certainly going to do our healthcare piece. That's an important part of what we're doing. So I'm excited about the fact that we just hired a new chair of our communications department, and his expertise is gaming. So we're thinking about what it might mean to be a women's college with a strong gaming program. And if those of you have been following some of the difficult challenges that women have been having in the gaming industry, then you'll know why that might be really interesting for Cedar Crest to have a space in that gaming world. So we'll see. Exciting ideas out there. What I will say about what I love about being at Cedar Crest and what I hope I foster as the president of the college is an innovative, creative environment that says to people, let's be entrepreneurial. Let's think outside the box. Let's do something really interesting and exciting. But also at the core of our roots, which is helping women pursue fields they've traditionally been underrepresented and helping them see themselves differently from a leadership capacity in those fields. And I think you see us doing that in some of the majors that we've pursued. So gaming, wow.
Yeah.
He's exciting. I mean, we literally just made the offer. He's coming to our campus, and already our students are starting to say, what courses is he going to be teaching? But you can imagine that might be interesting to have a gaming program.
Yeah. I was just reading, and it must have been recently in the paper, about the impact of gaming on some autistic children as well. And so to further the education of that population as well would be incredible.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, one of the things that we try to do at Cedar Crest that I think is an important part of how we think about ourselves is we're a very interdisciplinary college. So how do you think about these types of majors across our disciplines? So when we started to think about gaming, yes, in sort of the game space, but could we have our students create emergency room simulations for our nurses in a gaming environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are ways to think about all those pieces for our art students in the digital art world.
And art therapy.
Oh. So there's just ways to think about these majors across disciplines that I think is, because we're a small institution, we can do that in these interesting, exciting ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes us attractive to students, because they know that, you know, so many of our science students are majoring in dance and theater. They're double majoring because they don't want to not be a holistic student.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a small enough place that we can say, you want to do neuroscience and dance? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. And I think they are the better for it.
Yeah, they're much more well-rounded as they come out and easy to adapt. We talked a little bit about some of the changes and going into the 150th, and one of the things was a capital campaign that you've just recently
launched.
We're
in a bridge campaign. It's a little small campaign kind of bridging us to the next larger one. So if the dollars are relatively small, $10 million, but in our first year we raised $6 million. So we're feeling good about that.
You should.
And we got a nice gift to support the sophomore expedition, the study abroad program. But the key areas for that are the strategic plan, obviously. Certainly capital improvements are an important part of that, our endowment, but also athletics, which I'm not sure that many people know that a third of our students are student athletes. And so athletics has become an important part of how we think about ourselves. We hired a new athletic director, Alan Snook, about 2 years ago, and he's tearing it up. And we remember we launched the swimming, and we did that as a new sport. And I think making sure that our students sort of have the opportunity to participate in Division III athletics, which has that very much student-athlete-centered approach. You know, this is about being a student first and then an athlete in Division III. But that's an important part of how we think about ourselves. So some of our capital campaign is about improving our athletic facilities.
Okay, and how long do you intend this campaign to go? Is
it- So we will announce where we are financially at our gala of our 150th.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be past it. We'll be there, yeah. hopefully we'll be past and have set a new goal, right?
That's
what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you're on the, as I said when I announced and gave your background, you're on the Colonial States Athletic Conference.
So yeah, I'm actually the chair now.
So this is a little dated.
Yeah, that's a little dated. But yes, I'm actually the chair now, and there are 12 schools in that. So places like Keystone and Immaculata are the types of institutions that are in that league. And we have non-division sports, so swimming and soccer and volleyball. And I just keep an eye out for our softball team this year. I think we're going to be pretty good.
Ah.
So that's my prediction.
Let's hope we have good weather season
for
softball.
Yes.
Last year was really horrible.
Yeah. Oh, it was. And we had to keep getting our field cover. It was horrible.
Oh, incredible. But one of the other aspects of Cedar Crest that I don't think many of our listeners are aware of is the amount of time the students spend in the community.
Yes.
And support the Lehigh Valley. Why don't you share a little bit about that, and especially for those organizations that might be listening that could maybe tap into the expertise?
That'd be great. So we have the Lutz Center of Community Service on our campus. It's an important part of how we think about ourselves. So remember early on in our conversation, I said that leadership is service, mm-hmm. right? It's not just positional. And we certainly want our students to think about the world that way. So the first thing we do is at orientation, we all go out for a day of service. We take the entire first year class and we go out. I go with them every year, and we go out to various community organizations, and the folks who lead our Lutz Center can make those connections with all those organizations, and our students go out. And a lot of times that leads to these connections that students want to go back to those institutions. And then we have a course in their sophomore year called Ethical Life. And in that course, part of that work of that course is community service.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that it's a part of how they think about their world. And I have to say that our students continue to do that work. So whether it's with Bike Works or tutoring at an elementary school or March of Dimes, which is a big March of Dimes thing. I have to be pied in the face in a couple of weeks because of the March of Dimes. Because of the March of Dimes
money. You can't stay in India.
You know, students put money in your thing, and if you get the most money, you have to. So I'm the pie in the face person for March of Dimes. But that's part of helping our students understand that leadership is not people sort of listening to you talk. Leadership is about serving your community. And when you go serve, you not only learn a lot about yourself, but you make sure that you understand the needs of your society and your community. And I think it builds a better human being. Mm-hmm. Just frankly, you're just a better human being. And I'm hopeful that when our students go out and do this, that they think differently about what they can do for society. And so we do well over 20,000 hours a year in community service. It's a culture mm-hmm. at our institution now. It's who we are. I don't really think that much about it because it's who we are.
Yeah, it's part of
it. It's part of our culture.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about the undergraduate program. We've talked about the graduate program, the program abroad. But women's leadership in general in the Lehigh Valley, Cedar Crest is really taking a lead position. Women of Influence,
right.
The Women's Leadership Conference. Let's share a little bit with our listeners about that aspect.
You know, I think that one of the things that I felt when I first got to Cedar Crest was that here was this historic women's college, been around all of these years. Yet I wasn't really sure that when people thought about women's leadership in the Valley, that they thought of Cedar Crest first, right? They thought of it in the first couple of
top of mind
when they thought about women's leadership. That was my sense of things. And so we went about the business of trying to change that, right? This is historic women's college dedicated to women's education and women's leadership. When you start to think about those things, you should think about Cedar Crest first. So certainly partnering with the Chamber and with United Way around the Women's Leadership Summit was important. It's on our campus every year. Hundreds of women, mm-hmm. 500, 600 women on our campus. We just had last week 100 and something Girl Scouts on our campus.
Oh,
with
nice.
Our faculty members doing hands-on experiments with them. So all ninth graders, hundreds of ninth graders, thinking about college, but also really women's leadership. We started a Women's Leadership Institute and did seminars around that. And then we made sure that when we talked about coming to Cedar Crest, that we helped young women know that the women's college piece was a competitive advantage. That's one of the reasons to choose us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now when people think about women's leadership, when they're thinking about their leadership initiative in the Valley, I think Cedar Crest comes up. I think people say, well, you should probably call the Cedar Crest people. Yeah, I think they're doing something around. Oh, yeah, you know, you should talk to. Because we have this college that's dedicated to educating young women. And I want people in the Valley to think of us as an asset when they're thinking about the status of women in the Valley,
mm-hmm.
When they're thinking about impacting women in interesting ways, whether it's new degree programs or special opportunities. I want them to think about Cedar Crest because I think that we have an expertise that we can share. But more importantly, we have a mission that we care about. This is personal to us.
Yeah,
and so if you want to do something around women's leadership or education, give us a call because we care about the issues that impact women.
Well, and you're also doing some joint things with some of the corporations, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we certainly have these joint programs with a lot of corporations where we reduce the cost of coming to Cedar Crest. We're also doing this interesting program with another college. So this is kind
right.
of a, different model, right? So we've partnered with Rosemont. Some people know Rosemont, mm-hmm. a historic women's college. Used to be a women's college, went co-ed, maybe my first year here at Cedar Crest. And so we have a master's in counseling program. That's Rosemont College's master's program, but it's being fully delivered on Cedar Crest campus. And so it's in conjunction with Cedar Crest. You come and get this master's, your degree would be from Rosemont, but it's being delivered on our campus. And that's about, trying to find a way to have partnerships with other institutions and to bring our expertise around women's education and women's leadership, but to our campus. And it's just a different way of thinking about the model of college, right? There are all sorts of ways to partner. It can be with corporations. It can be with other colleges. It can be with international folks. We have to think about how we're educating students in a different way. And it may not always be the traditional way of thinking about it. Think about that MFA.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of low residency happening in Vienna, the students from Canada. But what press are we getting from this first book? It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
And that's because we just believe in innovation and a creative way of thinking about this space.
It's always exciting. I can't wait till next year.
It'll be interesting.
Catch up on all this
It'll
stuff.
Be interesting. Well, at least I'll be able to tell you the destination of
that's
our sophomore
true.
Expedition.
True.
So
she's keeping me
yeah.
at bay, too, listeners.
Yeah,
so it's
I
not
have
just
to say,
you.
It is under lock and key. We are sworn to secrecy. But all I will say to the listeners is it is so fantastic. When you hear this destination, you're going to say, I want to go.
Maybe we'll have to join you there. What's coming up at Cedar Crest? Anything on campus that our listeners should be aware of? Any activities?
I'm trying to think of what the next hot thing is. So our students just got back from spring break, so everybody's hunkered down right now. We are certainly excited about our new faculty members that have gotten promotion and tenure. That's really always an exciting time on campus. And, of course, commencement is coming up, and that's an interesting piece. I would say definitely go out to our sporting events. Our students are really working hard in all of their sports. But it's just been a fast year. We are working so hard on that strategic plan. That is really dominating everybody's time and energy these days. So,
yeah, well, and go to the website, listeners. I mean, the website has a lot of good information in it. And in addition to activities, just sort of what's going on campus, and that's cedarcrest.edu.
Right.
So, please just keep up to date with what's happening there. Carmen, is there anything else that you would like to make sure that our listeners keep in mind with this 150th year coming up and all these new exciting things?
I think that the only thing I will say about it is just I think sometimes people don't realize the depth of time this institution has been around and how impacting it's been in the Valley. I say all the time, 150 years means you're no spring chicken, right? You've been around for a while. You are a stalwart of mm-hmm. an institution. And what's important to us is for us to be a responsive institution, to be a relevant institution to this community. And if there are ways you think we can be more relevant, you should let us know, because our idea here is to be the kind of go-to place for students who are thinking about advancing their careers, for people who are career changers, right? That's what the School of Adult and Graduate Education is about. But we're proud of the fact that we are entering our 150th year. It really is a testament to not just surviving, right, but thriving in this really challenging landscape. And I'm proud of that, not because I happen to be the president there, but because we have some incredible faculty and staff. I would stack them up against any institution in terms of commitment to our mission and the hard work that they do and the caring about students, right? So for us, this is about being as invested in our students' dream as they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to invest in their dream and let them know that whatever they want to achieve is possible, and you have a partner right there that's trying to help you do it. Right. And that's who we are.
And I want to add, and hopefully I'm correct, please correct me if I'm wrong, but for you, a student is really at any age.
Absolutely.
Because there are a number of programs that you have for retired.
Absolutely.
Folks
we
as
have
well.
An Institute of Learning and Retirement. About 500 retired folks come on our campus each semester taking courses.
Yeah.
This really is about learning at any age. And all of us have to accept the fact that that's a requirement in this era, right? To continue
right.
to learn and grow and change.
Well, yeah, if you stop.
Yeah.
You stop.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other way to put it. But, yeah, we've got to continue to grow and learn, and especially now that we're global. And what a better place than Cedar Crest, where you've got a comfortable environment, but you've got all the impacts of a global institution.
We're excited about it. We're excited.
Yeah. Listeners, I want to just take a moment and say thank you again to Carmen for being here, for being a part of our annual Women's History. I want to thank Neil, who's been doing the board for us tonight and keeping us on track. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to Lehigh Valley Discourse. Thank you, and have a good evening. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.